Today, our goal is to reduce your anxiety and intimidation about your investments. Let's talk to expert Susie Jones and learn about smart money choices you can make as you plan for retirement. I'm Honey Shelton, and this is Training Matters.
Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Susie and I have enjoyed a long friendship and both come from the banking world. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Thank you, honey, for inviting me to be part of the show today. I'm excited to be here.
Suze, I'd love for you to share with the audience your background and what you're up to today.
Well, in a nutshell, honey, I would say that I'm an entrepreneur. I've been so fortunate to have wonderful mentors, and honey, you would be one of those, by the way. I've had great guidance and support and collaboration over my 40-year career. I began as a teller, like probably many here today, and was given the opportunity to be transferred into new accounts. And by the way, I couldn't wait to get into new accounts because they got to sit down. But while I was in new accounts, I realized we really had no policies, no procedures on how to open new accounts and really primarily how to protect our organization. So I wrote one of the first seminars in the country on new account documentation and compliance. And coincidentally, at the same time, Congress created individual retirement accounts, and I wrote the first seminar in the country on that topic. So I left the bank realizing that there was a huge need for that training, and I started a company called Training Resources, where for 18 years I provided training to 18 state bank associations on those two topics, and I loved it. In the middle of all that, I obtained the Certified Financial Planner designation, which really piqued my interest in investments. I obtained my securities licenses and started providing a little bit of investment advice to individuals during those years. I forgot to mention I got married and had two children in the middle of all that. And so I sold my training company in 1994 because I had a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I needed to get off the road. So I went to work for a local bank, and I was so fortunate to team up with another woman, and she and I started an investment division for the bank. And this is what I call my internal entrepreneurship experience. We grew that division of the bank from our team of two with basically no assets, a team of 70 with that assets in excess of $11 billion. During that time, I had the opportunity to work with hundreds of investors. And in September of 2016, I retired from the bank, and I'm now back on the road as my children are now 25 and 28, almost old enough for me to begin traveling again. And I'm having a blast. I'm providing educational training, focusing on investments and new accounts, and it has been an amazing ride.
Well, Susie, it really does sound like you're living the dream, and it's fun to have you back as a colleague and a friend that we can, you know, do things like this together and know that we're going to meet up at airports around the country. I know how fun it is to engage with bankers, and also know you've been speaking to some groups around the country about this very thing that you just talked about, your passion for stimulating the thinking, awareness, and education where investments and so forth are concerned. I'd like to kick off our interview talking about 401ks. It would be unusual if there's anyone in our audience that didn't have the opportunity to participate in a 401k. I'd like to hear from you why this is touted as a great benefit to employees and how an employee could gain a real understanding of what questions to ask and what best practices you think need to be commonplace around a 401k. Let's hear what you have to say about that.
Honey, you've asked a question that strikes a chord in my heart. When I was at the bank over the last 22 years, we grew a 401k business. Eventually, when I left, we were covering over 200 companies and work with over 22,000 plan participants. So I am very aware of the challenges that companies have in educating their employees about 401ks, and the challenges that participants have about really understanding the plan. So, because one thing that every one of us has in common is that someday we are going to retire. The decisions that we make today are going to drive what that looks like. And in reality, for most of us, our 401k is going to be our largest asset outside of our home. So unless you win the lottery or you inherit a bunch of money, you're in charge. And your 401k plan is going to be a huge driver in what that retirement looks like. So if your company offers a 401k, you need to take advantage of it, especially if it provides a match. And a match is where the company says, if you put in a dollar, we'll put in a dollar. And so they match like up to a percentage of your salary. So if they match the first 3% of your salary, then you need to be contributing at least 3%, because before you even talk about investing, the first 3% of the contributions, you get 100% return on your money. So employees need to take advantage of the match. And then, of course, we want employees to contribute as much as they possibly can. You know, the tax advantage of the 401k is that, let's say that an employee's salary is $50,000 a year, and they contribute $5,000 to the 401k. When they go to file their taxes, they're only going to claim $45,000 as income. So you're delaying paying taxes on those contributions. And so when the individual withdraws that money when they retire, they will then pay the taxes on the contributions and the earnings. So 401ks provide what we call tax-deferred contributions, because you are deferring paying taxes until you retire, and you're hypothetically going to be in a lower tax bracket. There's a relatively new type of 401k out there, and it's called the Roth 401k. And the difference between that traditional tax-deferred 401k and the Roth is the Roth contributions are not deductible. So what's the advantage then? I go back to the example of the participant that had a $50,000 salary and they contribute $5,000 to a Roth. They would claim that $5,000 on their tax return. They would not deduct the $5,000. But the benefit is that when they retire, they've already paid taxes on the contributions, but all the earnings, all the appreciation, everything comes out free. And so I always encourage, especially younger employees who are typically in a lower tax bracket, to take advantage of the Roth 401k. My own son just went to work for a bank, and he's participating in their 401k, and I've encouraged him to make Roth contributions, because when he retires, 40 years from now, everything coming out of that account is going to be tax-free. So the key questions that an employee has to ask is, does my company offer a plan? Do they provide a match? And then lastly, does the plan provide a vesting schedule? And what I mean by that is some companies, or actually most companies, for the company contributions require you hang around for a while before you own their contributions. They'll make the contributions, but you don't own them until you've been there for a year or 2 years or 5 years. So this vesting schedule, after a year, you're 20% vested for their contributions. After 2 years, you're 40% vested. And after 3 years, you're 100% vested. So realize that you will always own your own contributions going into the plan, but that the company contributions may have a little bit of a wrapper around them, that you won't own them. You'll see them, but you won't own them until you've been there long enough. So I hope that helps kind of understand the true benefit of the 401k plan.
Oh, what great information, Susie. I think, as long as I've known you, one of the things you do so well is take complex topics and make them easy for the rest of us to get it. So I think that's great. Another area that I think is mysterious, or that there's a lot of mystique around it, maybe even intimidation, has to do with investments. How to best manage investments, and, what do we even mean by that when we talk about this word investment? So I'd like to hear what tips you have. What are some important steps you'd recommend that can really reduce the anxiety and increase the confidence of just the average person's plan to be smart about their money?
Right. Well, the stock market, just using those words, elevates most people's blood pressure. And, most companies, this is not their fault, but they provide basically no training about the investments. The company talks about the attributes of the plan, like contributions and matching them. They hand the employee a packet about an inch thick and say, you need to get this back to us by Monday. So the employee takes it home, they open it up, and they see a list of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 investment options. Most employees have no idea to begin. So what they typically do is they look for the ones that have the highest return, and those are the ones they pick, or they just put everything in cash. I can't tell you how many participants I've met over the years that have said, yeah, I picked a bunch of stuff and haven't looked at it in years. They get their statement in the mail and open it with one eye closed, hoping that it hasn't gone down too much. Most of those packets, there is some sort of what I call risk quiz. And I really encourage each participant to take that risk quiz. And what it's going to do, it's going to provide you with some sort of guidance on what your risk personality is. Are you conservative? Are you aggressive? And at the end of the day, and I'm going to talk about this for a second, is how much should you, based on your age, your financial stage, your investment experience, how much should you have in cash, stocks, and bonds? You know, I travel a lot, you know, like you do, honey, and I'm probably the last person you want to sit next to on an airplane, because what I do is people, you know this scenario, people say, so, you know, what do you do for a living? And I say, well, you know, actually, I educate people about investments in their 401k, their retirement plan. They go, oh, yeah, my company has a plan. And I always say, and of course, you're participating, right? And they say, absolutely. And then I ask, tell me a little bit about the investments offered in the plan. And there's dead silence. And so then I ask them, so they offer like mutual funds, and they say, yes, because they've heard the term mutual fund. And then I say, so do they have a nice diversified list for you to choose from? And honey, this is normally where they, you know, flag down the flight attendant, either ask for a drink or to be moved, because they panic. She's asking me stuff that I know I should know, but I don't. And so I really encourage you, the participants here on the phone, to realize that, you know, the question I ask is, do you like roller coasters? And most people either love them or hate them. But you know that one that goes straight up, and as it gets to the very top, you can't even see over the edge. And as it goes over, you want to jump off. Well, that's not how you want to manage the retirement assets, because every one of your retirement plans is sitting on a roller coaster. And it may be the one that goes straight up, or it could be the one that has little bitty bumps. You need to really know, how are my assets currently invested, and are they invested appropriately for me? So what do I mean by appropriately for you? How much should you have in cash, how much in bonds, and how much in stocks? Those are your choices. I'll talk about in just a second kind of a really, most of the time, a simple option in retirement plans, but I want to spend just a minute for those who have an interest in really understanding and maybe even endeavoring in kind of picking this. So you take this risk quiz. And this risk quiz tells you, you know, based on your age, you should have 20% in cash, 40% in stocks, and 40% in bonds. So that's your initial asset allocation. And so when I talk about the stock market, people go, you know, it's so complicated. And my response is, it really isn't. You really have three choices. You can invest in large companies, medium-sized companies, and small companies. And obviously, based on your risk tolerance and how high you want that roller coaster to go, small companies are much riskier than large companies. So that's kind of a starting point with the discussion of, if I am going to look at the stock market, and you're going to be looking at mutual funds within your 401k, you're not going to be picking individual stocks. And a mutual fund is literally just that. It's where investors have a mutual objective. I want to invest in large companies. So when you go back today, or right now, you're pulling up your 401k, you're going to see, oh my gosh, it was there the whole time. The name of this fund is the Fidelity Large Cap Fund. They're investing in large companies. The T. Rowe Price Small Cap Fund, investing in small companies. So that's kind of the initial step. And then I'll spend just a second on the bond market, because people are very confused about the bond market. But literally, bonds are where you are lending your money to a company or a government. You literally are the bank. So the U.S. government needs money. I know that's shocking to all of us. And the U.S. government has a couple of ways of getting it. They can print money, or they can borrow it from the public. So a bond is literally you lending your money to the U.S. government. Well, there's absolutely no risk, because hypothetically the government can't go out of business, but that's another podcast. And so in reality, you're lending your money to the government. They're not going to pay you very much interest because there's no risk. And as we move up the risk scale, you can lend your money to companies like IBM or Wells Fargo, and you also can lend your money to startup companies that have a lot of risk. So again, in the bond market, you have three choices. You can invest in very safe investments like the U.S. government. You can invest in medium risk like IBM or other companies, or you can invest in high risk, also referred to as high yield. So those are my three choices in my bond portfolio. And so obviously in my bond funds, you're going to go back and you're going to see, wow, I see this is called the Fidelity High Yield Bond Fund. That means it's very high risk. So we're saying, well, you know, Susie, I just don't think I can do that. It's a good explanation. I get it. I understand. But I'm not comfortable making those decisions. And so another option, many of the retirement plans out there have what we call lifestyle funds or target date funds, where they're doing this for you. So a lifestyle fund is called the conservative portfolio, the moderate portfolio, or the aggressive portfolio. And they will decide how much in cash, how much in stocks, and how much in bonds. Or you can pick sometimes what's called a target date. You're going to retire in 2050, and it is the 2050 fund. They will invest appropriately for you if you're retiring in 5 years, if you're retiring in, you know, in 30 years. Well, obviously, the 2050 fund, you're going to be retiring in 2050. So they've got 2020 funds, 2025 funds, 2030 funds, depending on what year you're going to retire. So you let somebody else do it for you. And they will create a portfolio, and it will become less aggressive the closer you get to retirement. So at the end of the day, you need to ask, look in your 401k account and ask, how are my investments currently invested? How much risk am I really taking? And do my investments fit me? And then on an annual basis, if you're not picking one of these portfolios, this aggressive portfolio that's preset, or you're not picking the 2050 fund, you're actually doing your own asset allocation, you'll want to look at that every year. So I said, you know, you've chosen to put 20% in cash and 40% in bonds and 40% in stocks. You don't pick that and then never look at it again. You want to do what we call rebalance your portfolio, where you go back and you say, wow, the market's done so well. That 40% I had in the stock market is actually now 50%. And so you've just moved from one roller coaster to a riskier roller coaster. So you want to rebalance back to that original 40-40-20. And so it's really important that we look at that. I always say look at it on your birthday because you're 1 year closer to retirement, or look at your portfolio on Valentine's Day, or, you know, New Year's Eve, grab that bottle of champagne with your spouse and let's go look at our 401k, honey. I know it sounds like a blast, but that really is taking control of the investments within your retirement plan. Because at the end of the day, if you've got money sitting in cash, which millennials, the statistics show, have an excess of 50% of their account sitting in cash, then at the end of the day, you probably will not have enough at retirement. We have to take some risk. We also have to be in control of the roller coaster and get the emotion out of it. And that's what rebalancing does, setting up your portfolio based on your risk tolerance. Secondly, rebalancing on an annual basis gets the emotion out. You don't pull your statement up, freak out, go to cash, wait for the market to come back, and then go back in. It's just you never can time the market. So I totally respect and understand the fear, but there are a lot of tools within your plan, typically within the website or the packet that you got from the employer, that can give you some guidance to how your money should be invested for you.
Susie, that is a really clear picture of how to be empowered and informed about managing your 401k. I think this has been great. Let me ask you this. If people in our audience want to know more about you or how to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, there are a couple of ways. One is they can email me. My email is resource4training. And that's resource and the number 4 training at gmail.com. Or they can just call me. My phone number is 713-819-5526. I would love to touch base with anyone. As you said, honey, I have a real passion for really helping people understand this. Because at the end of the day, we're all going to retire. We want it to be wonderful.
Well, that's true. And I have been on the roller coaster multiple decades and am going to go look at my investment portfolio as soon as we finish our call. Susie, I want to thank you for being our featured guest this month. This has been eye-opening, and I think, as always, you presented it in a way that all of our audience can understand, managing money, being smart with your money. So thank you so much for that. Audience, I'll look forward to connecting with you again next month for another episode of Training Matters.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.